We are in Daniel chapter 10, and we're going to look at chapter 10 and the first four verses in chapter 11 this evening. Before we begin our study of Daniel 10, I want to remind you of two facts that you know very well. Number one, God is in control of everything which happens in the entire creation. He either directs it or he permits it, but he never loses control of it. We know, according to Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. The second fact that I want to remind you of is that God knows what he is doing. He has no need for input from advisors or from investors. We read in Romans 11:33 through 36, oh, the depth of the riches both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor, meaning his advisor, or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed or repaid unto him again? For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. In verses 1 through 9, we see Daniel's vision. We read in verse 1, in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia. Remember, Cyrus began to reign when Babylon fell. Babylon fell in 539 BC. So this is 536 BC. A thing, meaning a message, was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar. And the thing, meaning the message, was true. But the time appointed was long, and he understood the thing and had understanding of the vision. Now by 536 BC, exiles had already returned from Babylon and had begun rebuilding the temple. This vision indicated that Israel would not experience peace for long. God had revealed that Israel would experience much warfare. Starting in verse 2, we read, in those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks, or 21 days. I, Daniel, ate no pleasant bread. It means I ate no pleasant food or no tasty food. Neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth. Neither did I, meaning Daniel, anoint myself at all, meaning I did not use any ointment at all. I put no lotion on my skin till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. And in the 24th day of the first month, as I, Daniel, was by the side of the great river, meaning by the bank of the great river, which just happens to be Hiddekel. Hiddekel is the Tigris River. Then I, Daniel, lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz. It means with a belt of gold from Uphaz around his waist. This man clothed in linen was an angel. Although the angel is not named, many believe it was Gabriel who had previously appeared to Daniel in Daniel 8:16. But let me just interject. Just because many believe that this was Gabriel doesn't mean it was Gabriel. Although some believe that this man was a pre-incarnate appearance of Christ because of his vision, or rather his description in verse 6, compared with the description of Christ in Revelation 1, it is unlikely, because this man was hindered in coming to Daniel by a prince, meaning by a demon of Persia, and needed help from the angel Michael. Christ, God the Son, would never need the help of an angel. Verse 6, his body was like the beryl. Now that's not B-A-R-R-E-L-L, okay? Not like that kind of beryl, the precious stone or semi-precious gem. And his face was as the appearance of lightning, meaning it was very bright. And his eyes as lamps of fire, meaning like flaming torches. And his arms and feet like in color to polished brass, meaning to smoothed and polished bronze, or to burnished bronze, which would be brilliant, radiant metal, alluding to purity and strength. And the voice of his words, like the voice of a multitude, which suggests that it was very loud and powerful. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision. For the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking, meaning a great terror, a great dread, or a great trembling, or a great shaking, fell upon the men that were with Daniel, so that they fled to hide themselves. So everybody else was scared off. In verse 8, therefore I, meaning Daniel, was left alone and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, meaning my natural color turned to deathly pale, and I, meaning Daniel, retained no strength. Verse 9, yet heard I, meaning Daniel, I, Daniel, heard the voice of his words. I heard the voice of the angel's words. And when I, Daniel, heard the voice of his words, when I heard the voice of the angel's words, then was I, Daniel, in, meaning I, Daniel, fell into a deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground. In verses 10:10 through 11:1, we see Daniel's strengthening. And behold, an hand touched me, touched Daniel, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. It made me tremble on my hands and knees. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, of course, he's beloved by God, understand the words that I, the angel, speak unto thee, and stand upright. For unto thee am I, meaning the angel, now sent. And when he, meaning when the angel, had spoken this word unto me, I, Daniel, stood trembling. Then said the angel unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself, meaning to humble yourself before God, before thy God, thy words were heard. And I, meaning the angel, am come for, or I have come because of, or I have come in response to thy words. Daniel had prayed 21 days earlier, and this angel had come because of, or in response to, what Daniel prayed. Daniel's prayer was heard on the first day of this 3-week period. But there's always some reason that's introduced. The prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me. And it means resisted me or put himself against me 1 and 20 days, 21 days. The prince of the kingdom of Persia resisted or put himself against Daniel. But lo, behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. Michael is an archangel. And I, the angel, remained there. I had been left alone there with the kings of Persia. This angel needed help from Michael, the archangel. The answer to Daniel's prayer was delayed because of angelic warfare, something we don't think about very often. The prince of the kingdom of Persia was a supernatural creature who tried to direct the human rulers of Persia to oppose God's plan. Evil angels seek to influence the affairs of nations. What do you suppose is happening with Iran? What do you suppose is happening with China or with Russia or with other nations that we would regard as evil? Might it be something similar, although we never think about it? Of course it might be and probably is. Michael, which means who is like God, is the special guardian of the affairs of Israel and is designated the archangel. One of the chief princes shows a hierarchy among the angels. In other words, there are some that are higher in rank than others. I remained there with the kings of Persia. The good angel, with Michael's help, was left in a place of preeminence in influencing Persia. But the battle between good and evil angels over the control of nations continues. It's still going on today. We are reminded of Ephesians 6, 10 through 13. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. We, you and I, must be strong in the Lord and realize that he is the most mighty one there is. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles or the deceits or the trickeries of the devil. Sometimes we may forget that we need to be studying God's word, that we need to be depending on prayer. We need to put on God's armor, God's panoply, the whole armor of God. If we have any ability, if we are to have any ability to stand against the treacheries of the devil. The explanation is given, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We do not have a warfare that is human, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. As believers, we are wrestling against spiritual wickedness that goes on, perhaps in the heavenlies. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Be standing, and when it's all said and done, to still stand. I'm sure that not many people are aware of angelic warfare going on all over the world. And the angels would love, I'm talking about the fallen angels, would love to destroy you, but you're protected by God. But you need to be doing what God wants you to be doing, living the way He wants you to be living, and depending on God for victory. It's the only way we can have it. You do know, don't you, that we are weak. We might think we're strong, but the fact is, we need to put on God's armor. We move on into Daniel 10:14. Now I, meaning the angel, am come to make thee, to make you, Daniel, understand what shall befall, meaning what will happen to thy people, what will happen to the Jews, not what will happen to the believers in the church age, but what will happen to the Jews, to thy people, in the latter days. For yet the vision is for many days. The vision is going to take us right up to the second coming of Christ at the end of the tribulation. But you need to understand that it does not concern the church. It does not concern believers in the church age. We believe in what is called the literal interpretation of the scriptures. People who blend Israel and the church are always wrong when it comes to prophecy. Do not blend Israel with the church. Promises made to Israel will be kept with Israel. Promises made to the church, meaning to the church age saints, that's to us, will be kept regarding the church. Those who blend them, Israel and the church, will not believe in a pre-tribulation rapture. They will believe either that there is no such thing as a rapture, or they will believe that it is coming in the middle of or at the end of the tribulation period. So why do some believe that the church and Israel, that the promises made to Israel will be fulfilled in the church? As it makes a nice little tidy story for them, but it's not what the scripture is teaching. Be careful to keep it straight. The rapture is for the church. Israel will go through the tribulation, okay? We won't. Israel will. I know. Some people will think I'm crazy. And you know, they can think whatever they like. They will also. You have to understand, it doesn't make any difference what I want. They will think what they choose to think. So that's verse 14. Remember that. Verse 15, and when he, meaning when the angel had spoken such words unto me, unto Daniel, I, Daniel, set, meaning I turned my face toward the ground, and I, Daniel, became dumb. Doesn't mean he was stupid. It means I became speechless. He didn't have anything he could say. And behold, verse 16, one like the similitude of the sons of men, one who looked like a human being, touched my lips. Then I, meaning Daniel, opened my mouth and spake, meaning and spoke, and said unto him, I said to this angel that stood before me, O my Lord. This is used here as a title of respect. For example, it might mean sir. By, meaning as a result of, or because of the vision, my sorrows are turned upon me. My sorrows have overwhelmed me, and I, Daniel, have retained no strength. Verse 17, for how can the servant, meaning how can Daniel, how can the servant of this my Lord, meaning of the angel, that talk with this my Lord, how can this your servant talk with you, my Lord or sir? For as for me, Daniel, straightway, immediately, there remained. Now there remains no strength in me, neither is there breath left in me. Verse 18, then there came again and touched me, referring to Daniel, one like the appearance of a man. It is this one who had a human appearance, speaking of this angel. And he, meaning the angel, strengthened me, meaning Daniel, and said, O man greatly beloved. Daniel was greatly beloved by whom? By God. By the way, you and I are likewise greatly beloved by God. Fear not. Peace be unto thee. Be strong, yea or yes, be strong. And when he, meaning the angel, had spoken unto me, I, Daniel, was strengthened and said, let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. Verse 20, then said he, knowest thou wherefore I, the angel, am come? Meaning why I have come unto thee. And now will I, meaning the angel, return to fight with the prince of Persia, when I, that is, when I, the angel, am gone forth. Lo, indeed, the prince of Grisha shall come. Now, the prince of Grisha is the prince of Greece, and it is another demon. But I, meaning the angel, will show thee, will show you, Daniel, that which is noted. I will tell you what is written in the scripture of truth. And there is none that holdeth with me, meaning the angel, none that holds with me in these things. No one upholds me with these. No one stands firmly with me against these forces, but or except Michael, your prince, meaning Israel's prince. That's quite a text in chapter 10, isn't it? Well, I've read it and read it and read it and struggled and struggled and struggled. And so if you're struggling a bit with it, I'm not at all shocked. But meanwhile, we go on into chapter number 11, where we will consider the first 11 verses. but will give you an outline of chapter 11 so that you can keep in mind what's going on. Here begins a detailed, remarkable section of prophecy. First, it is about Persia in verse 2. Then it is about Alexander the Great in verses 3 and 4. Then it's about the Ptolemies, the P is silent, the Ptolemies and the Seleucids until Antiochus Epiphanes in verses 5 through 20. And about Antiochus Epiphanes in verses 21 through 35. Now you can expect that we will deal with verses 5 through 20 next time, and with verses 21 through 35 after that. All the details of these predictions have since been fulfilled accurately. Next, Daniel gives a prophecy about Antichrist yet to be fulfilled. That will be in 36 to 45. Although the prophecies of chapter 11 were still future at the time Daniel wrote them, verses 1 through 35 have now been fulfilled historically, while verses 36 to 45 are still future. And then we will see in chapter 12 that Daniel's prophecy deals with the nation of Israel. Now, we'll take a look at this, but Daniel is speaking of things. Remember, he's living in 586 BC, and he's giving prophecy of things that will not happen until, well, down in the 175, 170, 165, when Antiochus Epiphanes comes along and offers a sow on the altar in Jerusalem, and you have the Maccabean revolt. Because of this, those who do not believe in predictive prophecy want you to believe that Daniel wasn't really Daniel the prophet living in 586 BC, but was somebody who was writing as if he were Daniel, but is writing after these things had already taken place, so that he knew some of these things and therefore could write about them. But he's writing as if he were predicting them. That's by people who do not believe in the inerrancy and the inspiration of the scriptures. We believe in both. We believe it's predictive. So if you ever look at a commentary on Daniel, one of the things you want to check out is the date it was written. I don't mean the date the commentary was written. I mean the date that Daniel was written. And if they tell you that it was 2nd century, which means somewhere between 200 and 100, it's liberal. It is not to be read. Get rid of it, okay? You can say the same thing about Isaiah. If you look at the book of Isaiah and you want a commentary on it, look to see how many authors it tells you that Isaiah had. If it has more than one, it's liberal. Get rid of it. It's not going to be helpful to you. Or if you want to know about something in the Pentateuch, like Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, if they tell you that it was written by Moses, the human writer, it's conservative. But if they tell you it is written according to this JEDP documentary hypothesis, which means that it was written and then it was redacted and then some more was added and it was redacted and then some more was added and it was redacted, it's liberal. Don't waste your time or money with it. Enough about commentaries. You want any commentary to be one that is written by a Bible-believing individual. And there's some good ones out there. Sometimes we disagree with a few things in them. That's okay. They're telling you their opinions. They would disagree with me. They're free to do so, you know. What can I say? My opinion is they can be wrong if they want to be. But that's an arrogant opinion, and I need to be careful of it. Well, as we look at verse number 2, we see Daniel's prophecy regarding or concerning Persia. Remember, Persia is the ruling empire following Babylon. Daniel 11:2, and now will I, meaning the angel, I will show thee, I will show you, Daniel, the truth. Behold, there shall stand up yet 3 kings in Persia, and the 4th shall be far richer than they all, and by his strength, through his riches, he shall stir up all against the realm of Grecia, meaning the realm of Greece. Yet 3 kings in Persia refers to Cambyses, who reigned in 530 to 522, Pseudo-Smerdis, who reigned from 522 to 521, Darius the First Hystaspes, also called Darius the Great, who reigned from 521 to 486 BC. The 4th king of Persia is Xerxes. He reigned from 486 to 465. He's the same man known as Ahasuerus in the book of Esther. He was opposed to Greece. Now, he died in 465. The Greek Empire did not conquer the Persians until 333 BC. Doesn't take rocket science to see that that was 132 years after the book of Esther was written. In 11, 3 and 4, we see Daniel's prophecy concerning Greece. And a mighty king shall stand up that shall rule with great dominion and do according to his will. A mighty king who shall stand up and who shall rule with great dominion and do according to his will is Alexander the Great. His kingdom was represented by the bronze belly and thighs in Nebuchadnezzar's image and by the winged leopard in Daniel 7:6. Alexander the Great was also the notable horn of the he-goat in Daniel 8:6-8. Daniel 7:6 says, and after this I beheld, and lo, another like a leopard, which had upon the back of it 4 wings of a fowl. The beast which also had, or also had also, excuse me, the beast had also 4 heads, and dominion was given to it. And then we read about it again in Daniel 8:5-8. And as I was considering, behold, an he-goat came from the west on the face of the whole earth and touched not the ground. Really coming fast. And the he-goat had a notable horn between his eyes. And he came to the ram that had 2 horns, which I had seen standing before the river, and ran unto him in the fury of his power. And I saw him come close unto the ram, and he was moved with choler, meaning he was moved with anger against him, and smote, meaning and struck, or and attacked the ram, and brake his 2 horns. And there was no power in the ram to stand before him, But he cast him down to the ground and stamped, meaning and trampled him. And there was none that could deliver the ram out of his hand. Therefore the he-goat waxed, meaning became, or grew very great. And when he was strong, the great horn was broken, and for it came up four notable horns, one toward the four winds of heaven. Now, we see in 8:20 through 21, the ram which thou sawest having two horns, they're identified as the kings of Media and Persia. And they ruled from 539 when they conquered Babylon until 333, 206 years before the Greeks conquered them. And the rough goat is the king of Grecia, meaning the king of Greece. And the great horn that is between his eyes is the first king. And so we move on into verse 4. In case you think that we're about to be done, you're right. I've given you enough historical data that you can chew on it a while and figure it out. I hope that will be helpful to you. And when he, meaning the mighty king, this is Alexander the Great, shall stand up, his kingdom shall be broken and shall be divided toward the four winds of heaven, and not to his posterity, meaning, and not to his descendants, nor according to his dominion which he ruled. For his kingdom shall be plucked up, meaning uprooted, even for others beside those, and given to others. Alexander died at age 32 from malaria and complications of alcoholism. After Alexander's death, the kingdom was divided among his four generals. Cassander ruled over Macedonia, that's northern Greece, and Greece. Lysimachus ruled over Thrace and portions of Asia Minor. Now, if you'll look at a map, you'll notice that there's an Aegean Sea. On the left side, or the west side, is Macedonia and Greece. On the east side of the Aegean Sea is Turkey. Well, Thrace is the landmass that connects Macedonia, northern Greece, with Turkey. And it's at the north end of the Aegean Sea. Ptolemy, again the P is silent, Ptolemy ruled over Egypt. And Seleucus ruled over Syria and Mesopotamia. Mesopotamia means literally between the rivers. And it's the area of land between the Tigris and Euphrates rivers. And it's where Iraq would be located. These four generals represent the four heads of the leopard in 7-6. And the four notable horns on the he-goat in 8:8. Excuse me. I'm sorry. I hate to get a tickle in my throat when I'm preaching. I hate to get a tickle in my throat when I'm not preaching, too. But the best thing I can do right now is try to get a cough drop out of my pocket, which seems to be disastrous right now, and to put it in my mouth. All right, I found the cough drop. I've only got about three things in my pocket, but I struggled to find this. Now, verses 5 through 35 in chapter 11 Well, describe the warfare between the Ptolemies, meaning the people from Egypt, and the Seleucids, or Seleucids, and they were the ones in Syria. This lasted about 200 years. Verses 21 through 35 will describe the career of Antiochus IV Epiphanes, who ruled from 175 to 164 BC. And he came to the throne by intrigue, we'll explain what that means, and made several expeditions into Egypt, and then turned his hatred on Israel. Verses 36 to 45 give details of Antichrist's future career. So it skips the entire church age. In chapter 12, Daniel's prophecy deals with the nation of Israel. Daniel chapters 11 and 12 do not deal with the church or with the church age. Those who blend the church with Israel will not properly understand Daniel chapters 11 and 12, because they do not believe in a literal fulfillment of scriptural prophecy. Many evangelicals who claim to believe in a literal understanding of the scriptures do not believe in a literal understanding of prophecy. We have seen that God knew in advance everything which was going to happen with his people, the Jews. He either directed it or he allowed it. Daniel was told by the angel things that were going to happen in the future. Some of these things have already been literally fulfilled, whereas others are still future. What do we learn from this? We learn that God's prophecies will be literally and actually fulfilled at the time of God's choosing. I remind you, Daniel 10:14, now I, meaning the angel, am come to make thee, to make you, Daniel, understand what shall befall or what will happen to thy people. That's not the church. Thy people is Israel. What will happen to the Jews in the latter days? And that's as far as we'll go tonight. We'll take up with verse number 5, Lord willing, next Sunday evening. Trust that you've been able to follow this. It is not the simplest chapter in the scriptures. Let's pray. Our Father, thank you that we have the privilege of being here and of studying thy word together. Help our people to understand it, in Jesus' name. Amen.